We're continuing on this series during Advent. We're covering some different names of Jesus. And last week it was Jesus is the light of the world. We talk about what the importance of that title is, how that impacts our lives. And we're going to hit on a different one today, Jesus, the Word of God. And by the way, I've started putting together these notes, if you would like. I'm always putting them back on underneath the bulletin board as well as on the table as you come in here, the hospitality table. These same notes are always also on the, I shouldn't say always because sometimes I've forgotten, usually on the live.darbycreek.org. That site has them as well as if you use the YouVersion Bible app. If you have that installed on your phone, basically the easiest way to get our notes up is to go to our website, darbycreek.org, and click on the button that says Sermon Notes. It will open up your YouVersion app and take you into the notes for today. So, okay? Somehow the magic happens, right? But anyway, that's just different ways that you can see the notes for today's message and have the scriptures that are up here on the screen. So, let's go ahead and pray together as we get into God's Word. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be able to be here. We gather together in your name. And Lord, we are hungry for you. We want to know you more. We want to know you not just in our head, but in our hearts more. We want to become more intimately acquainted with your ways. And so, Lord, we just pray, we invite you, Lord, in a special way, your presence this morning. Lord, would you bless us, Lord? Not out of any, in any way are we deserving of that, but, Lord, just out of your mercy, out of your grace. And Lord, we want to also take this opportunity to lift up our brothers and sisters or friends and family who are sick, who are battling disease. And Lord, we just pray. We pray for them. We bring them before you like those men who lowered their friend down through the roof to the Lord Jesus so that he might heal him. Lord, we bring our friends to you and ask for your healing touch. We ask for sustaining grace, Lord. And that, Lord, we just pray that you would help us to see how we might be your hands and feet as well in these same people's lives. Lord, help us to be about the business of making disciples, not just as a church body, but as individual believers. Lord, help us to see that call and to be obedient to it. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. Thank you as we celebrate Christ's first coming and the hope that has brought to the world that we look forward in hope to his return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so as we talk about Jesus, the Word of God, we're actually going to be in that same section of Scripture we were last week because both in 1 John, in the beginning parts of that chapter 1, it talks about Jesus as the light of the world and also as Jesus as the Word of God. So we're just going to kind of stay put in there, and we'll have some other passages that we'll bring in today, but we're going to look at that passage in John chapter 1. So, as is our tradition, if you're able to stand, would you stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God, and I'll read it for us today. So, it's John chapter 1, and it's verses, I'm going to read verses 1 to 5, and then we're going to go 14 to 18. So it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And no one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, he who has made him known. Please have a seat. This is the Word of God. So Jesus is called the Word of God. And this may sound strange for us to say, you know, how is he the Word of God? I'm so glad you asked, because that's what we're going to talk about. Why is he called the Word of God? And what implications does that have for us? You know, why is that so important? Right? And so the first thing is we see here in this passage is that Jesus is the eternal. He's the eternal Word. Right? As it says there in John 1:1-2, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And I'm telling you, those two verses are just packed with theology, important theology, important information about who Jesus is. And as you may have seen when we got down to verse 14, that, you know, Jesus, it's Jesus who is this Word of God, right? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? And we'll get to that. But when you read those 18 verses and on, you just see, okay, well, this Word of God is actually Jesus Christ. And so, but it's important for us to see that Jesus is the eternal Word. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that, you know, before the Son of God stepped into flesh, if you will, he existed, right? He existed with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And so, as it says, in the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God. So whatever the Word is, and we know it's Jesus, he was with God. And the Word was God. Okay, now those are two important things, that he was with God, which means he's not God the Father, but he is God, okay? And he's not God the Father, he's another aspect of God, right? And we know the scriptures teach that there is one God in three persons, right? So Jesus is part of what we call the Godhead, right? Some people say the second person of the Trinity, if you will. And so, he existed, and before, you know, he's God, so he's always existed. So he's not a created being, and that's important for us to realize. Jesus is not a created being, right? Some translations actually add and say that he was a God, right? That word there is a, that article is not in the text. And so they add that to make it sound like he's a God, right? So something unique, you know, different from God. But so the scriptures do tell us that Jesus, the Son of God, also known as the Word of God, eternally existed with God the Father. So distinct from God, one in essence with God. Okay, that's hard for us to understand, but the more you read your Bible, you see this is the case, right? One God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Jesus is the eternal Word. Now, you should notice in the opening verse of John chapter 1, something should sound familiar. In the beginning. Now, that sounds really familiar. Where else is that? Genesis 1:1, right? Genesis 1:1, which also starts off with in the beginning, right? Now, John just didn't accidentally put that down. Like, oh, this sounds really good. No, the Holy Spirit inspired him to say, no, you want to know who Jesus is? You got to go back to the beginning, right? You have to go back to the beginning. And so where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Get there. right? But, and that kind of brings us on to the next point, right? As we look at Genesis 1:1. So not only is Jesus the eternal word of God, he's always existed, but also we find out, and by the way, one other thing I want to mention about Jesus' eternal existence, Jesus himself testified to this. I don't have this up on the screen. You might want to write down. It's John 8, Gospel of John again, 56 to 58 says this. It says, your father Abraham, speaking to a group of people, he says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. In other words, Jesus saying, your father Abraham was looking forward to the day when I would be here. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, they're kind of like doing the math, right? They say, you are not 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? They're like, your timeline's off, Jesus. Abraham's dead, and there's no way, you know, how could he have known you, right? And Jesus said to them, and here's the verse 58, and this is the kicker. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And so he's telling us he existed before then. And so he's the eternal Son of God. And so it's all throughout the scriptures, okay? We're not just pulling a verse here or there. It's all throughout that. So let's look at Jesus as the creative word, connecting it back to Genesis, right? So Jesus is the creative word. Looking at verse 3 of John chapter 1, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So what did Jesus make? Everything, right? At which also, when I read that too, it tells me that Jesus is not a created being. Because if he made everything that was made, you know, he didn't make himself. Does that make sense? I mean, so he made everything. He created everything. And so let's be reminded briefly about some of the creation account. That's a long section, right? The first couple of chapters of Genesis. But I want to read just a portion so that you might see, if you haven't already, why Jesus is called the Word of God. Okay? So here we go. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 2. It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good, and good. God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that they were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Now, do you see something that keeps being said? Like, he said, and it happened, right? He said, and it happened, right? God spoke, and things were created. The Word of God spoke, okay? And I'm telling you today that the one person of the Godhead that spoke was the Word of God. He was the agent through which this creating happened, right? So God the Father wants this to happen. Jesus the Son is the agent through which the creation happens, right? And so doesn't it make sense that the one who would come to us would be called the Word of God? He's the one that did the creating, and he spoke and it happened. It's amazing. Isn't that you think about that. And I know it sounds like so simple, but God can do anything. I mean, if he can create something out of nothing, which is what happened, created something out of nothing, I mean, I'm glad I know that God. And I would think anybody would want to know that God, right? That he could do anything, not just for wanting him for his sheer power, but just to know him. And that Jesus has come into the world, as we'll see, so that we might know him. But we see, this is amazing, that God said, Jesus, the Word of God, the Son of God, before taking on human flesh, he spoke, and the Word of God spoke, and the universe came into being out of nothing. And so, it's interesting also to note, you go into the New Testament, and we see all kind of testimony about Jesus also being involved in creation as we go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible." There are things that we cannot see. There's a whole spiritual realm of beings that we cannot see. So visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him. Now listen to this. This is the goal of creation. Everything that's been created by the Son, which includes us humans, we are created for him. Did you get that? For him. That's our purpose. I'm telling you, if you want to know what the purpose of God's life is, it's found in Jesus Christ. We are made for him. He's created each one of us uniquely, wired us differently, with varying gifts and abilities. As we learn in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we're created to do good works for him. We're created for him. So, you know, if Christianity is new to you, you need to see that your purpose is in Christ. And when you come into a relationship with him, he's the answer, not only for our sin problem and receiving forgiveness, but also he gives our lives purpose and meaning. And so, all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things created by him and through him and for him. So just think about that. You know, maybe this afternoon or in the morning, if you spend regular time with God in the scriptures, why don't you just sit there and just say, "Lord, thank you, if you know him, thank you that you saved me and I'm made for you. And I'm going to live out my purpose in you today." Right? And you know, every day is an adventure with Jesus when we look at it that way, that we're created for him and our purpose is in him. Every day, we don't know what comes, but he knows what comes, right? Nothing slips through his hand. It's all filtered through his hands, and so nothing catches him by surprise. So if you know that God, the God of Jesus Christ, then you know that that purpose will carry you through, and he's with you in it. And so the other way that Jesus is the Word, he's also the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh. You know, as John goes through that, it's called the prologue there of John, those first 18 verses. He goes through that. He connects the dots for us and says, you know, starting in verse 14, he says, "And the Word became flesh." Now, to some people, in the first century, if you would say that God became flesh, they would say, "Oh no, God wouldn't do that. Material things, matter, is evil." Right? Even our physical bodies, the Gnostics would say, you know, our bodies are evil. You know, it's all about what's happening in our spirit. Okay, well, when you read your Bible, you realize, no, God says it's the whole package, man. the whole package is his. You know, it's not that the body is evil and it doesn't matter what you do with your body. Right? That's why Paul says to the Corinthians, you know, glorify God in your body. Right? It's because the body's good. And so the Word became flesh. The one who created stepped down, it says, and dwelt among us. You know, this language to a Jew who would have heard this, right? When you say these words, and we may not know this, but this is the word that's tabernacle, right? He came and he tabernacled among us. And you know, they're thinking that, you know, that temporary building that they built for worshiping God, and God's presence came and met them in that tabernacle, right? And so again, you know, Holy Spirit inspiring John, saying the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. The presence of God came and lived with us. And so that Word, Jesus Christ, who existed before all time, right, has always existed, right? And he created, the creative Word, but he came down and he took on flesh. And I don't want to get into all of this, but it's important for you to know that in becoming flesh, it wasn't through subtraction. He didn't subtract his divine nature, okay? It was through addition, if you will. He took on and added on the becoming human. And so Jesus is fully God and fully man at the same time. How that is, we don't know, but I'm telling you, the Scriptures bear it out. Okay? The Scriptures bear it out. And so the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And, you know, what happened in the Old Testament when Moses would go in and meet with God? What happened to his face? You remember? Shone with the Shekinah glory, right? And some, you couldn't even hardly look on his face, right? The glory of the Lord shone on him. And so John says, we have seen his glory. So he's connecting all these dots. This Jesus is God, and he came to live among us, and we have seen the glory of God in him. That's what he's saying. So if you're used to your Bible, you kind of just read over this stuff. This is what he's saying, this temple language, God dwelling with us, his glory amongst us. And John also tells us, when you read the book of John, he goes through a series of miracles, and many times he will say that through those miracles, they saw the glory of God through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. So, and as he goes on here in verse 15, says, John bore witness about him. He cried out, this is of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, meaning he came before because he was before me. It says, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And when you read the gospel accounts, I mean, you can't come away with anything but Jesus is full of grace and truth. He doesn't hedge on the truth, but he's full of grace, right? It says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. You see, what we get from that verse there is that Jesus Christ is making God known to us in a very personal way. Not from afar. And of course, God met with people, you know, he met with Moses, says face to face, but those were special arrangements, right? Not everybody got to meet with God in that way, right? But now, through Jesus Christ, when we come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we can meet with God. There's nothing anymore between us and God. Our sin has been forgiven. That which separated us from God is gone. So the Word made flesh, and that's what we call the incarnation, right? You hear that word, the incarnation, right? Jesus come in the flesh. God came in the flesh, now come down to earth. That's what Advent is about. We're celebrating, we're remembering these 4 weeks in December, these first four Sundays, about why he came. Now, how is he made flesh? By the miracle of the virgin birth. Right? By the miracle of the virgin birth. I mean, you know, here's Mary. She's pregnant via the Holy Spirit. She hadn't had relations with Joseph, the one to whom she was betrothed to, right? And so, but that's how God planned it. So John is telling us in these verses that Jesus revealed God's glory in his person and his works and his words. Think about that, right? If Jesus is God come down in the flesh, then everything he said and everything he did was of God. It was God saying it. It was God doing it. Now, it's necessary, I mentioned this before, it's necessary that Jesus be fully God and fully man. I want to talk about the fully man aspect. There's a whole other thing that we could do in terms of looking at the scriptures, why it was important for Jesus being fully God. But I want to look at, since we're talking about the incarnation, why it would be important that he would be fully man. Okay? This that Jesus coming to the earth as a man showed us what God is like. It's in a way that you and I could get, right? I mean, God created us. He knows how we would best understand it. So what he did, he gave us a man. The man Jesus Christ. And as we look in Hebrews chapter 11, look at what it says here. Hebrews 11 chapter, verse 1. Sorry, Hebrews 1 verses 1 to 4. It says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Right? And that's how certainly he spoke that way. We read in the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets. In fact, you could even say that John the Baptist is probably one of the last prophets. And then it says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God speaking, Jesus is the Word. Right? Whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. Here we get just another passage talking about Jesus creating everything, right? Then it says, now listen, speaking of Jesus, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by his power. Just think about that, those first phrase. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Isn't that telling us Jesus came to show us God? He did. He's the exact representation of the nature of God. You want to know what God's like? You look at Jesus. You see what he said. You see how he lived. What were the truths? What did he say? Anything he said, right, is God speaking. And so, and then it says, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Okay, the word of God upholds the universe by the word of his power. So not only did he create everything, all matter, but what else is happening? He's holding it all together. Which tells us if Jesus wanted it to be gone, he would just have to, in a sense, snap his fingers or just will it to be gone. Right? That is Jesus. And then he says, let's see here. After I missed this important part. Here it says, he upholds the universe by the word of his power, and after making purification for sins, right, that's why he went to the cross, right? After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Of course, Hebrews is all about how Jesus is greater than, and then you name it. He's greater than that, right? And so here we have just a passage, one of many, that tells us that Jesus became flesh so that we could know God in a very personal way. Okay? All right. Now, another reason why the incarnation is so important is that Jesus needed to be fully human to be a substitute sacrifice. Right? If Jesus was going to die in our place, he needed to be a man also. Again, he's still fully God, but he also needed to be a man. If he's going to stand in your and I's place, he has to be a man. And so we see in Hebrews, again, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham." Then going to verse 17, "Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect." You get that? He's a man in every way, it says, "so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people." Now, we know he was made like man in every way, but yet without sin, right? The scriptures tell us he was sinless. That was also an important thing, right? As a man, he needed to be able to do what the first Adam didn't do, and that is live a perfect life. Okay, that was important. If the righteousness of Christ is going to be put to our account when we believe, he had to be righteous as a man. And so it says there, make propitiation for the sins of the people. Can you remember the last time you used the word propitiation? I certainly haven't used it in the math class lately. It's just not a word we use. It's a good word. And let me just tell you by way of a man by the name of Sinclair Ferguson and how he described the word, since we don't use that word very much. He says, "But what does propitiation mean?" He says, "It's not a word family that we use much today." He says, "It's the idea of doing something that averts or exhausts the anger of another." Okay, it's doing something that averts, he says, or exhausts the anger. It's like appeasing the anger of someone who is wrathful. Right? And so he says, so when Paul and John speak about the Lord Jesus as a propitiation, they're thinking back to the temple sacrifices that were made in recognition that because of human sin and rebellion, the people were exposed to the wrath of God and a sacrifice needed to be made. Right? So Jesus, if he's going to be our substitute sacrifice, in other words, if he's going to be our way that we can be forgiven, but God, and we've been studying about this in our discipleship groups, because God is righteous, he's not going to just say, "Oh, it's not a big deal," you know, and sweep sin under the rug. No, it's just, you know, he's also just. He's perfectly righteous, he's perfectly just, and he is perfectly loving. And what happened at the cross was the meeting of God's justice, and his wrath was satisfied as he poured out his wrath on his one and only Son. And so God didn't sweep sin under the rug, right? Because now a propitiation has been made for anyone who would put their faith in Jesus. Because either you're going to pay for your sin yourself, or you're going to receive his payment that he made on your behalf. It's not automatic. It's available, but it's not automatic, right? Well, how do I get that? How do I receive that forgiveness? And how do I get Jesus's, you know, that so that Jesus is your personal substitute for sin? Well, it's by faith. First of all, believing and knowing that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And secondly, recognizing that Jesus is the one and only Savior who could have done that. Okay. And then by believing, it's like just saying, "Lord, I want that. I know I need it, God." The Bible uses the word there in John 1:12, "But as many as received him," it's you're welcoming Jesus. You're welcoming. You say, "I want that. I want you, Jesus, and everything that comes with you. I want not only your forgiveness, I want your righteousness. I want to live like you, Jesus. And so you receive him. That's what it means to receive. You believe in him and then you just welcome him. You want him. I don't think there's any magical words. It says you have to know you have a need for salvation. You have to know he is the one you need to know. And however you word that, as long as that's the idea, then you can know him. And so Jesus made propitiation for sin. He's our substitute. That's another reason why he needed to be fully man. And then lastly, here, that Jesus needed to be fully human so he could sympathize with us as a high priest. And so, again, looking in Hebrews, seems like we're in Hebrews for all this stuff, but it's just where it is. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says this, "For we do not have a high priest," speaking of Jesus here, if you read the context, "for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we, yet without sin." Jesus was tempted in every way. Doesn't it help you when you're speaking with individuals who've kind of been where you are in life situations? It does. It doesn't mean that other people can't relate to you that haven't been through exact same situations, but it does help, right? And our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is one who can, as it says there, sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows what it's like to be in a body and all that comes with it. And then it says in verse 16, "Let us then, as a result of that, knowing that we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, so then let's run on in to the Lord." He says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." This is our God. If you know him as Savior, Jesus Christ as Savior, you can run to him, so to speak, and he is your grace and your help in time of need. That's who he is. Then it says in Hebrews 2:18, it says, "For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Just fitting right in what we've been saying. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He's been victorious. He can help you. That's what he's saying. I mean, really just scratching the surface here, but this is what it means for Jesus to be the Word of God. Right? He's always been. He's the Word of God that's always been. He is the Word, the creative Word. He created everything. And we also learn that he's holding it all together still by his power. But that Word became flesh so that we might see God in a person. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the incarnation. Thank you for Jesus, the Word of God. Thank you that it says he's the exact representation of you, God the Father. We didn't have to sit here worrying about what God is really like. We have record of it in many ways. And in the New Testament, we know what you're like because we see the account of Jesus. And so, Lord, this morning, we want to give you praise for the Word of God. And I pray too, Lord, if anyone has not put their faith in Jesus, that today might be the day that they receive him, welcome him into their life, and acknowledge their need. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.